Hello and welcome to Witchy Woman Podcast. I am your host, Danae Sweet, and this is episode 35. If you can hear little munchy noises right now, it's my cat. Milton has decided that this afternoon at 2 o'clock is when he would like to eat his kibble super loud. So if you hear a little munch, please excuse Mr. Milton. Today I'm going to talk about two topics that I've been getting a lot of questions about. I see articles written and I would like to throw in my two cents about everything. So what I want to talk about first is how to pick a good psychic or medium. Some of the red flags you should look out for, things like that, how to pick a good one. And I also want to talk about energy work. Can anyone do it? What are some safety concerns, precautions, that sort of thing. I'd like to talk about the negative sides of the things I do, because these are the questions as a practitioner I get the most. I get questions, are you legit? How do I know you're real? Those things. They ask me about my energy work. People that have never had energy work, especially if they're super Christian, will a lot of times assume that I'm doing something evil. And anyway, I would just like to clear out the air and answer a bunch of questions about that. I also want to say, oh my God, thank you for all the spooky stories that you guys have sent in. I am having such a fun time reading them all, and oh my God, some of them have really, really like creeped the shit out of me. So I'm so excited for you guys to hear these. Again, this is going until September 30th. You get your thing into me at email it to witchywomanpodcast@gmail.com. Send your scary story to me and I will go through with my panel of judges and pick one or two to have on the air. You will be chosen and you can tell your story on the air on the podcast. I think that'd be really fun. I'm going to have a whole month of October fun, spooky shit. So it's going to be fun to have you guys be a part of it. Oh, I also wanted to say thank you for all the beautiful Maybomb blessings that everybody shared. I loved all the pictures that people were sharing in our Witchy Woman Friends group of your altars and your decorations that you guys have put up. It was so fun having everybody share that together. I just want to thank the WW Coven group for sharing Maybomb with me and doing the ritual, doing a Maybomb ritual with me. I think that was the highlight of Maybomb for me. I had never been able to do a ritual with other people, and it was online, yeah, but it still felt like everybody was there. At one point, we were doing some gratitude work, and I got tears in my eyes, and I just felt really, really, I felt really full and complete. So thank you very much for sharing that with me. All right, let's get on to psychics, mediums, and how to choose a good one. I want to start off with some red flags. Let's start there. So say you have picked a psychic, you went to a psychic fair, or you're driving down, you're in a touristy place and you're driving down, you see the psychic sign and you go in. Okay, here's some red flags for you to notice. Just kind of start going, really? And if your intuition says get the hell out, get the hell out. That's kind of my number one rule. I don't care how legit they seem or sound. If my gut is just telling me you should get the hell out of here, then I bounce. So always trust that first. Number one, if you sit down and at any point in the conversation, they say you're possessed or cursed and for X amount more money, they can clear you of the spirit that's tormenting your soul, then I would run. I totally get that there are spirit possessions, that things like that actually do happen, but it's a lot rarer than TV makes you think. And if you walk into some psychic's place and they ask you, they tell you, oh, you're possessed by the spirit of whatever demon, and for $150 more, we'll do a ritual and I'll get rid of it for you. You should just go, thanks, no thanks, and go get some freaking ice cream or something instead. Second thing you should watch out for is scolding you for being bad or from anything in your past. If they are a genuine sympathetic, empathetic psychic or medium, and they pick up something in your past that was traumatic or maybe less than flattering, no true psychic or medium is going to shame you for that. They're not out for the greatest good. They're a Judgy McJudgeons, and you should bounce, because that session's going to make you feel like shit, and it's not meant for that. Also, generally, the third thing is kind of an umbrella deal. So anything that's driven by fear, if they say this thing is happening to you and that thing is scary, and if you pay me extra money, I'll get rid of this scary thing, you should run. Because more than likely they're full of shit. Another thing, so you're having a reading and your Aunt Martha's talking to you through the psychic or through the medium and everything's going well, and then all of a sudden the psychic or medium's like, oh my god, you have this terrible disease. I can clear you of this terrible disease for so much more money. Or they're like, oh, you're gonna die on October 4th. No, that's ridiculous. I'm sorry, but if I walk into a session with somebody and this person is supposed to be giving me messages from spirit and they give me hard dates for anything, I am going to bounce. I'm sorry, but fate and the way free will works is not that solid. If somebody says to me while I'm in a session, I'm getting a session from somebody, and they say, you're going to get married on September 4th and you're going to die on December 3rd and your second born child will, you know, be born this. No, just no. I literally would tell them they're full of shit and I would walk out. Be like, this is wrong. Like, you shouldn't be doing this to people. You're scamming people. And that's what makes the rest of us look bad, is when there's people like that out there being shitty. So if they give you hard dates, walk away. So basically anything that they give you an easy button for. So if they're talking about, if you're in a session and you ask them, can you tell me anything about my health? And they say, oh my God, yes. You have this terrible disease, or they tell you you have cancer, or they tell you you have any of these things, but I can do a spell or a ritual to get rid of it. Run. And report them as being fraudulent. Friggin' blast them on Facebook. Do something. Because there's no easy button for anything in life. I'm pretty sure that if there was an easy button, I'd have used it by now. And I have not found one. For true spiritual growth, for true healing, any of that stuff is never easy. If they give you an easy button, or the equivalent of an easy button, bounce. If they guarantee anything. If they guarantee, I guarantee you're going to fall in love next month. If I guarantee that you're going to get pregnant in 2 weeks. If they guarantee anything, it's a red flag. Like I said, free will and the way life flows is way too unpredictable. They may have this snapshot in their head of what's going to happen in that moment, but that can change with the next decision you make. When you walk out that door and go left instead of right, that's another decision, and that entire thing that they decided to predict to you could be absolutely wrong. It also puts you in a position where you now have expectations to fall in love by next week or month, and that's not fair. If any psychic or medium or psychic medium asks you or pressures you into more readings, oh, come back in 2 weeks and I'll give you another reading. Come back in a month and I'll give you more reading. You should probably run. That is something that I've actually turned down more readings because of that. People will come in and they will get a reading from me. For whatever reason, they need a little guidance or whatever. I will give them a reading, and I do not see somebody in a month. I would rather not see you in 2 months, because it's probably going to be the same message. Unless you've made a drastic life change or something serious has happened to you, the messages aren't going to be much different from month one to month two. I have a particular client that would love a reading every week. And I think it's more because I'm entertaining. I'm like his circus monkey. I have had to tell him, please do not contact me again for a reading for another 4 months. Because I know this person isn't doing the work that spirit is telling them. So a lot of times for me, they're spirit guided. So people will ask me guidance, or they'll, what does spirit have to say about this? What does my deceased mother have to say about this? So I will give them messages, and it's not always, you know, super pretty and fun messages. It's work, soul level work that you need to do, that spirit would like you to do. If you don't start it, if you don't work on it, if you don't make any changes that spirit has suggested, the reading is going to be the same, and it's not fair for me to take your money for the same damn reading. It feels very unethical to me, so I will tell you no. Typically, I would rather not see clients. The most frequent span would be every 3 months to me. I think every 3 months, we have a little bit of different one. Seasons are starting to change. In 3 months, weather gets different. The stars are different. Everything changes in 3 months as far as that goes. So I think that is a fair cycle. But again, if I know the client well enough to know that nothing's going to change, then I will just tell them don't. I will try to put them off as long as possible because I feel it's unethical. Let's see. Oh, another red flag. Okay. If you're sitting in an hour session and the entire session has been, you know, butterflies and rainbows and roses, if all the messages from spirit or your loved ones have been positive and fluffy bunny shit, it's probably, you're just getting told what you want to hear. This person knows exactly what you want to hear and is telling you that, as opposed to what spirit tells you, which is what you need to hear. So if it's been the most untraumatic, you haven't cried, everything's been woo happy, then it's probably a red flag. For me, that would be a red flag. Be like, well, spirit's never fluffy bunny for me. I mean, there's been some positive stuff, but it's usually something to work on, something to help your soul evolve. Okay, and here's a pet peeve of mine. If somebody comes into me and gets and wants a reading from me, and the first thing they ask is, and this is a lot of clients ask this, they ask, what are the names of my spirit guides? Are they female? Are they male? What do they look like? That sort of stuff. I do not do that. I don't do dates. I will not tell you when you're going to get married or die. I'm not going to tell you any of that. I'm not going to predict any of that because that's wrong and unethical. It creates expectations, and for me, to change your thought processes is wrong. So an example of that is, if I told you you were going to die next week, that changes a lot about how you make decisions. If I told you you were going to get married 2 months from now, the love interest that you're with right now, you're going to push them for marriage. Whether you wanted it before or not, now you're going to be like, yeah, let's get married. I'm going to push you now. Or you're going to drop them because you don't want to get married. You know what I mean? So it creates a whole subset of expectations that the client does not need, and it's not fair for the psychic medium to put those on the client. So no hard dates. I'm not going to predict shit for you. I'm also not going to give you the names of your guides. That is a deeply personal thing. What you decide your guides' names are and what you think they look like should be 100% you. Not a psychic. Nobody should tell you that information. I will tell people, yes, you have a beautiful spirit team, because they will talk to me. They will talk to my guides. Your spirit guides will. That's a lot of times how they communicate, or how I get information, is spirit guide to spirit guide communication. But I'm not going to say one of your spirit guides' name's Bob. He's got a beer belly and a mustache. And the other one over there is female, and her name's Sally. She's got brown hair. She wears a tutu. I'm not going to say that stuff. I just think it's wrong. It's what I'm – when I see guides – I don't even pay attention to what they look like. I just want the information, because what they look like, or who they think, or who you think they are, is 100% you. And I don't want to, this is going to sound kind of snarky or maybe pushy. I don't even know the word for it, but your connection with your spirit guides is your responsibility. I'm going to say that again. Your connection with your spirit guides is your responsibility. You can ask for guidance from psychics and mediums and other spiritual people as to how to connect with them. How do I deepen my connection so that I can communicate with my spirit guides? How can I develop my upper chakras so that I can more clearly communicate with my spirit guides? Those things, perfectly valid and beautiful questions. When somebody comes in and says, what's my spirit guide's name? How many do I have? And, you know, all that stuff. I just tell them, you know what, it's not something that I do. That's a personal connection between you and your guides. And that's something that, again, there's no easy button. That's something that should take you a while. It should take work and connection. And that connection between you and your spirit guides is special and... to me, it's a sacred thing. It's like your connection with whatever deity that you connect with. That's sacred and very personal. So if a psychic gives you that information, to me, I would walk out. And I know that a lot of psychics listening or mediums listening to this are probably going to get pissed off at me because I know some personally that will give names like that. And I just think it's wrong. But that's my opinion, and other people can have their opinion, and that's what's great about the world that we live in. Anybody can think whatever the hell they want. It doesn't mean that I would blast somebody online that they're fake if they tried to give me my spirit guide's names or anything like that. I'm just not going to take them very seriously. So there. So that's that. I have had a range of readings from all kinds of different people. I've had men read me and women read me. I go to a lot of metaphysical fairs, so when there's a downtime, it's really fun to trade services. So I'll go, you know, get a massage from one of the vendors, and then I'll give them a reading in return. So same with a lot of the readers. I will go give them a reading, and I'll maybe, or they'll give me a reading, and I'll do Reiki for them, or a reading, whatever they want. So I've had the good, the bad, and the ugly, all of them. And I guess one of the best experiences I had was with a male reader at a metaphysical fair. And this person didn't ask me any personal information. He didn't ask my name. He had no idea who I was. I was new to the metaphysical circuit. He had no idea that I had in the other room a tent or a Reiki place set up with stuff. I also hadn't at this point advertised that I could do readings at all. I was just doing energy work and some hypnotherapy and stuff, but I had not started offering readings. It wasn't on my website, nothing. So anyway, so I was bored, took my $20 bill, went across the room, went into another space and found this reader. So I'm gonna get a reading from him. So anyway, plop my money down, and immediately he was like, oh, you're a reader. And I'm like, no. I do energy work. He's like, no, but you're a reader. You're a medium. And it was not like he was asking. He was telling me, yeah, I know that you're a reader. And yes, I am. I just hadn't expressed that to anybody publicly at that point. So right then and there, I was like, okay, cool. So he proceeded then to tell me about my other half. They described this person who sang with me, who is artistic like me, pretty much everything. They were a mirror of me. Said that we even sing together. He described my daughter to a T. My daughter was not at that fair. He had no idea who the hell I was. Anyway, described my daughter and, you know, described our bond, the whole bit. He connected with my great grandmother. He knew exactly what her favorite color was. Like, great grandma Kay was obsessed with the color red. Like, she was the feistiest woman. In her house, she had red shag carpet. She had those, oh man. Okay, so you know those lampshades that make everything red that look like velvet and they have the little beads hanging below? She had one of those. It looked like you're walking into the red light district brothel. I mean, it was fabulously decorated. She loved red. She wore red lipstick till, as far as I know, till the day she passed away. He described her everything. He never asked me one question about anything. He just said, your grandma liked red. Yep. Your grandma was feisty. Yup. All these things. He was a fantastic reader. He knew exactly what I needed to hear, not what I wanted to hear. So that was one example of one of my favorite readings that I've ever had. I had a terrible reading from somebody that immediately told me that I was in danger and that I should watch my back, and this person was close to me, and, you know, all these, you know, be careful, and you need a cleansing, I can cleanse you. And it was just, the entire thing was way off. It was way hokey, reaching and fishing for information. I was polite and finished, but I would never go back to that person again. It was not authentic at all. It was one of those times where I felt like I needed to take a shower afterwards because I felt like it was just an unclean, energetically unclean situation that I was in. They were definitely fishing and wanting me to tell them information rather than them tell me. It's one thing to say, okay, so your aunt Susan loved to wear paisley, right? That's one thing. It's another thing to say, so, your aunt liked to wear a certain pattern. Do you know what it was? You know, that's completely different. And that's what that one was like. It was terrible. So anyway, I've had from the good to the bad and everything in between. They're fun to experience. And if you go into a reading going, okay, this is an experience and don't have any expectations for it, then even if it is a shitty reading, it's still an experience. So even the bad readings I've had, it's still an experience. It helped me know what I don't want in a reader. So even if you end up booking a reading and it's not something that you really resonated with, it teaches you something about yourself and what your boundaries are. I prefer a certain type of reader, and I'm very picky. I have one person that I go to consistently for readings. Actually, no. Let me go back to that. I actually have three people, because I have somebody that I have read tarot for me quite often. And I have a medium that I talk to not very often, maybe once a year. And then I have another woman who is a medium as well, more of a psychic medium. And I'll ask for a little extra guidance and things like that when I have blind spots. We all do. And my blind spot is the spirits that sometimes will surround me, that are my family. Sometimes I have a blind spot as far as their intentions and how far I should let things go. So she helps me with that. So anyway, let's get to the energy work portion of this. So I am a Yasui Reiki master. I have done the levels, I've done the attunements, I've done all the classes, I've done the practice, I've dealt with all the attunement hangovers is what I call them. So it's 21 days after each attunement. Usually you have some emotional energetic purging that you deal with, and I've gone through that. I don't want anybody to think that I think the only valid energy work is Yasui Reiki. I am not saying that at all. One of my things I want to point out, I guess to begin with, is that I learned my lesson. I will only get energy work from somebody that I know has been attuned, that has had the professional Reiki master teach them. And this is why. So energy work, let's start with that. So when you see somebody getting Reiki, or when you're getting Reiki from somebody, if they are attuned, if they've taken the classes and they have been attuned, level 1, 2, 3, whatever, they've been attuned at some point in some level, that energy that they're flowing through you and into you comes from source. It goes source through the practitioner and into you. They're attuned to that. If somebody has not been attuned, if I just allow, say my husband has not been attuned to Reiki. If I say, hey, I need some energy work done. So he puts his hands on me and has the intention to put this energy through me and all this stuff to help heal me. He is using his own life force energy, not universal life force energy, his energy. If he is doing that, then I now get all of his baggage, his negative thoughts, anything he has that's not pure is now into me, no matter what his intentions are. It's going to flow in through him, through his hands, and into me. So that's the difference between somebody that's attuned for energy work or gone through the classes and somebody that has not. You are getting their energy, not life force energy. I keep saying like life fart energy, and that is so wrong and not what I'm saying. So anyway, so somebody that's attuned, safe. Somebody that's not attuned, not safe. I ask now for credentials. I want to know for sure that they have gone through classes and are in fact attuned to some sort of energy modality, so that they can funnel life force energy into them and then to me. It's not their baggage, their life force energy. One, it can hurt the practitioner. So if Brad did that for me, if my hubby gave me energy work, it's going to make him so tired because he's sharing his life force energy with me. It's going to make him sleepy and tired and probably sick eventually if he did it too much. Somebody that's Reiki attuned does not get tired from doing Reiki work. So because it's not my energy that I'm giving to somebody else. It's life force energy. You may become emotionally strained because you're acutely aware, while I'm because I'm a medium, because I have abilities. When I do sessions with somebody, a lot of times their deceased will show up. I know about their emotional trauma. I can feel them because I'm an empath. So all that factors into it. But for the most part, it's not going to make me tired because it's not my energy that I'm giving to them. Why I wanted to talk about this is because I had a terrible, shitty experience with an energy worker that was come later. I did not know. I assumed, and this is what was wrong, I assumed that this Reiki person was actually attuned to be giving somebody Reiki, and she was not. So I had this person give me a Reiki session, and the first time it was weird by, like, my guides were not happy. They're like, you should get up. They were throwing me all kinds of, like, why would you allow this person to give you Reiki? Because anyway, I ignored it because I thought it was something that something in my ego mind was, you know, making up this stuff, because I was a little nervous about getting energy work from somebody other than the Reiki master that taught me. So anyway, so I get the session done, and afterwards, instead of feeling light and buzzing, I usually get a Reiki buzz, like my hands are vibrating, my whole body feels great and light. Anyway, I felt heavy and sick. So I thought at the time, because it was flu season, that, oh shit, maybe I'm getting the flu. Or maybe it was a lupus flare-up. So anyway, I ended up having a second session from this person because I complained about not feeling good, and they're like, oh, hey, I'll come over and we'll do another session. I had a session with this person, and it was supposed to be an hour, and I ended up saying that's enough. I made up an excuse saying that I really needed to get back to what I was doing before, and, you know, sorry, I can only do a half hour, that kind of thing. I'm acutely aware that this person was channeling very ill intentions to me. My guides were all up in arms. It was terrible. I went to the bathroom and threw up afterwards. And from that moment on, I severed ties with that person for good. Like every tie that I could possibly think of in this material world, the physical world, I got rid of. And then I cut cords later that night. Long story short, found out that person did not have the best intentions. It sounds like a stupid movie, but she was working in conjunction with somebody else who did not want my shop in the town that I had it in because I was, I don't know. I don't know why. I don't care about their whys. All I know is they were doing bad things. I found out later on. So my instincts were spot on, and I learned very, very, in a very shitty way, I learned that I should have respected what my guide said. I should have respected what my gut was yelling at me during the sessions. So yes, you hear about people saying that Reiki is always good. It is always good. True Reiki is always good. If you are doing energy work on somebody and you haven't been attuned, that's not Reiki. That's just that's you pouring your energy into somebody. And I know I'm probably going to get some hate mail for that, because I know a lot of people I see on, you know, metaphysical forums saying it's not fair that Reiki people charge for classes because it should be available to everybody. And everybody can do energy work. That is 100% true. Anybody can do energy work. You can send your intentions and your energy into whomever you want to. But we are human. There is no way that our human mind, our human self with that ego that we have, can keep all of the bad shit that's going on in our own heads, our own bodies, our own energy field out of somebody else if you're not using life force energy, the universal life force energy. I hope that makes sense. I hope I didn't piss too many people off by saying that. But here are some precautions. So say you want to find energy work. Then you need to go to one of the Reiki organizations online and find their list of practitioners in your area. Those people have been trained and certified through an organization. They've paid their dues. They have had their lineage verified by that organization. So whatever kind of Reiki you're looking for, or whatever kind of energy work you're looking for, go to a parent organization. So the Reiki, what is it? There's a couple different ones. There's a International Reiki Association page. There's one local to the U.S. I'll post all those so that you guys have the links to legitimate practitioners. That's number one. Find a legitimate practitioner by going through an organizational page. Two, if you're in a town and you can't find anybody that's on any of those pages, but there is somebody that's advertising that they do some kind of energy work, ask for their credentials. Where did you get attuned? Who attuned you? And then you can go find that person and find out if they're legit or not. That's something that I should have asked when I first encountered this person offering to do energy work for me. So that is a very, you know, common thing. A lot of people that do Reiki or have been attuned don't want to pay the $40 or whatever it is to get into the organization to get listed. So they may very well be legit. They're just not a part of the organization. So just, you know, politely ask, may I please have your credentials? If they say no, that's a red flag, and don't go get energy work from them. If they get butthurt about it and still give it and give you some kind of name, but they're, you know, acting like, you know, it's a big deal, or they're butthurt about it, then I would not go to them. When you go into somebody's place, so say there's a Reiki center or a holistic healing place, whatever, their wellness center, their space that they're going to do Reiki. If you walk into that place and one, it's dirty, two, you get a bad feeling or you're uncomfortable at all, if you need to feign some kind of excuse, say, oh my gosh, I really don't feel good. You know, I'm getting nauseous. Can I please reschedule? I have to cancel, whatever. Make an excuse and get out of there if you're uncomfortable at all. It should not make you feel uncomfortable. It doesn't mean that person's bad or whatever. It may not mean that at all. It just may mean that their energy doesn't resonate with yours and you need to find a new one. One of my pet peeves, and I know this is going to make some of my fellow Reiki practitioners upset. One of my pet peeves is that some Reiki practitioners will treat it like a mediumship session. They'll start working on you and go, oh, your Uncle Charles is here and he would like to tell you this or this or this. To me, I didn't come in there for a mediumship reading. I would like you to focus all of your intention and all of your attention on my body and on my energy, please. So if I go to a session and they start that shit, usually I will never go back. I've had one do it. They weren't spot on, but they weren't super off either. But it's not something, I didn't come in there for that. It also sets it irritates me because it sets a bad precedent for the rest of the Reiki practitioners that do not do that. Reiki was not meant to be an entertainment modality. It's a wellness modality meant to help facilitate healing and wellness. And it just irritates me because I've had a lot of people come in that are Reiki clients for the first time, and they've had one of those practitioners that want to show off their mediumship skills or try out some mediumship skills, and they will start giving them a reading while they're doing their Reiki, and they expect me to do it. Well, that's a separate appointment, and it's uncomfortable. It makes me feel really bad that I have to kind of deter that kind of behavior or expectation within my practice, because that's not something I do. If you want a mediumship reading, I can totally book a separate session for that, but I want to focus on your aura, what your chakras look like. Let's see if you've got any kind of byoki going on. Let's move that out of there. Those kind of things. That's what my intention is on while I'm doing a Reiki session. So that's one of my pet peeves. And that may not be for everybody, because for some people that's cool. You get a 2-for-1. But for me, that's not. I didn't go there to get a mediumship reading. I would like you to heal. Help me heal myself. Let's move some energy around. And I know I'm going to get some hate mail for that. And I'm sorry that my opinion pisses you off. So I hope that was all information that you could use. I hate being negative about the things that I do, because it casts a shitty shadow on mediumship and energy work. And it already has baggage that people carry when you even hear the words Reiki or energy work or psychic medium. But I wanted to just talk about it. I think the more that we have good information out there and that we are able to talk about the shitty side of stuff, the better things will get. It is irritating that there are fraudulent practitioners for energy work and fraudulent practitioners that claim to be psychic mediums. It makes it really hard for the rest of us to get clients and to make a living at this when people already have a shitty view of what you do. But the more we educate, the better things will get. So I hope that these red flags and these things that I pointed out are something that you can use now when you are picking a psychic or medium or energy work practitioner. If anyone has any questions about any of what I've talked about, please, or the hate mail, come on, I know there's some of you going to want to, email me at witchywomanpodcast@gmail.com. You can DM me on Instagram at witchywomanpodcast. Please join our Facebook page, Witchy Woman Podcast, and then go to Witchy Woman Friends and hit join. That group is badass. That group is our closed group, so that if you're not out of the broom closet, no one's going to see what you post. You can be as witchy as you want in that group. We share spell ideas and cool memes. Everybody was sharing the pictures of their Maybon altars and what they did for the holiday, and it was fabulous. So if you have not yet, please join. It's completely free. Witchy Woman Friends on Witchy Woman Friends on Facebook. And I know I spoke about it earlier, our WW Coven. So that is a private group of people that have subscribed to one of our tiers on our Patreon page. That is patreon.com/witchywomanpodcast. I'll put the link in the group in the notes, but that is a page where you can go and support the podcast. I believe the tiers are like $1 through $10, but that's a monthly contribution, and that any of those tiers gets you into the WW Coven. And in that coven, we do rituals for sabbats, esbats. We do spells for different intentions. I'm going to do some 101 stuff, and that group is where we will have a lot of the videos and things like that for coven activities. So because we can't all meet in the same physical place, we're all over the world, this is a really fun group that are kind of dedicating themselves to being or living in a more nature-based fashion. You don't have to be a witch. You can be pagan, you can be Wiccan, you can be whatever the hell you want. If you're interested in it, head over to the Patreon page, subscribe to one of them, and that will give you a welcome email. So check your email. That's going to have the link to the group and the password to the group. And then you'll be admitted access. All of the live videos that we've done so far are still they're posted on the page. So if you want to go back and look at all the stuff that we've already done, it's all there for you to look at. So I am so excited for October. I have so much planned. I cannot wait to share everything with you, but October is going to be packed with spooky shit, special episodes. There's going to be bonus stuff in the coven happening. There's going to be bonus episodes on the Patreon page and in our Witchy Woman Friends group. There's going to be some fun stuff going on in there too. So if you have anything you would like to say to me about this episode, good or bad, please feel free to email me. I will promise I will not get pissy. I will take constructive criticism as eloquently as I possibly can. All right. So until next time, stay witchy. Bye-bye.